turn off the notifications. Do not disturb.
Right.
So, where do you live now?
That's an interesting question. In between?
You live in the upside down?
Not exactly. It's more like the in between.
Okay, where is the in between?
Well, we have moved all our stuff into a new house.
Congratulations.
But we do not live there yet.
Okay, that's a little weird.
And we are handing over our old house on Sunday.
Oh, whoa.
Which means that there's not much left.
So, as of next week, you live on the East Coast?
Not really.
Or do you live in a hotel on the West Coast? Or
not that either. We live in the floor apartment of my, I guess, grandmother-in-law.
Okay. As you do.
As you do.
Okay. And that's like a temporary easing out.
Yeah, we are like fish in a bottle. You have to, when you move the fish, you have to sort of climatize them or something. Okay. I don't know.
So you don't heat up the water too fast or whatever.
Like boiling frogs?
For instance, yeah. Yeah. Do you feel like a boiled frog?
Today I do.
Why?
Because it has been boiling for at least a week.
Yeah.
Or, yeah.
Okay.
Has it been a week?
Since?
Longer than that.
Since what?
The announcement.
What announcement would that be?
Where
do you work now?
Well, technically, I still work at NetLife.
Technically.
Guess. Yeah. But, yeah, mentally, that's an interesting question also.
Yeah. Are you a little bit in between there as
yeah.
well?
In between jobs. Okay.
but not the in-between jobs you thought you were going to be in between.
No.
What happened?
Short story. Can it be a short story?
No. In the beginning, there was the word. And then there was metadata. And then Bengler happened.
Yeah, so for a year now, we have worked quite a lot with both a company, I guess, but also a product. And it's something so exciting as a... It's not quite a headless CMS, it's something more. It's a system for structuring your data, real-time collaborative. Yeah.
yeah.
Yeah. So they have made a software which makes it easier to draw up a content model and have a editor, and it's in the cloud, and there's an API, and so on.
It's the most beautifully nerdy thing I've ever seen.
We want that as a testimonial.
Who's we? You're getting ahead of yourself.
Yeah, yeah. That's also interesting. Construction of
that hat
we,
went on fast.
Yeah. Yeah,
well, you've
exclusive.
Been putting on a hat for a long time.
Yeah, but
yeah, right.
Yeah. So we built the NetLife website with this as a back end, and I worked a lot with it for clients and so on. And these guys, because they are still mostly guys, or exclusively guys, I guess.
They have one woman on the webpage now.
And that's between us. She doesn't work there anymore. But yeah.
Schoolmarker's barn.
This yeah. company, they've been a company for 20 years. They are even older than NetLife.
Yeah.
And they have made stuff like, they sort of made Facebook before Facebook. Sort of this graph based social network and so on, and
lots of cool toys.
Yeah. But then they made this thing called Sanity, and they decided to, okay, we want to sort of quit being consultants, because they were sort of a technology design consultancy firm, and we want to bet our houses and horses on this thing, and make a new company, aka a startup, right? And a couple of weeks ago, they got funding, and they asked me to join them.
And make official, I guess, your role as like the single most effective sales slash advertising slash implementation.
Yeah. So
expert.
Yeah, I rather want that title now.
That's a little long. It's not going to fit in the business card.
It will be a huge business card.
Like a meter by.
Yeah, but so I'm starting as. We had a title talk. What should it sort of call you?
Yeah.
And ended up with. I guess I have to get accustomed to this title, but head of developer relations.
That sounds very fancy.
Head of developer relations.
It's a very well chosen job title.
Yeah, it's a good yeah. So I thought that this job title would imply that I perhaps coded some examples, talked to developers, and so on. And it's dawning that.
Hi.
It's starting to dawn on me that I am the social media guy.
In part. How do you feel about that?
I don't know what I should feel, because I went from being a consultant on technology and development and so on to be somebody that works with social media.
Well,
but I guess I always have, but yeah.
But like Slack, is Slack social media discuss?
Well, I guess it is.
Yeah. So like you're the preeminent Slack ninja title.
Oh God.
Here.
Yeah.
So it makes total sense.
Yeah, I guess it does. But it's weird because in NetLife, as you said, Slack is sort of internal communication thing, and to the degree I do social media, like Twitter and all that stuff, it isn't really, it's just me being me, sort of. But this is a new context. Here we have a product, and we need conversions and growth and all that.
You have to have a presence.
Yeah.
With quote marks around the word presence.
And I see what you did there.
It's Wait, coming. There was another thing?
Yeah, presence. That's a feature in Sanity that is on its way.
Okay, unconscious pun.
Yeah. It is what makes the real-time collaboration feature possible.
We will talk more about that, but possibly not here.
So now I have to be in the mind shifts from consultancy to how to make a product work, or sort of explore and discover how this product should be communicated, and who are the people that want to buy this thing.
Yeah, well, there is that such a shift, like a lot of what you already do as a consultant is, hey, there's this technology, here's how you could use it.
Yeah. But and the way our design process usually work is that we also go into the sort of what the organization's reason to exist and sort of try to align that with the people they want to reach for whatever reason and so on. But you never get that deep into it. You never have the same stake as when your salary depends on this sort of taking off.
Yeah, you're like a more disinterested party as a consultant.
Yeah.
Yeah, shit just got real, basically.
Yeah, yeah. You can say that.
But that's good, right?
Yeah.
That's a good driver.
Yeah, it's good and it's pretty interesting. And it's also dawned on me that all this talk about startups and growth hacking and all this shit, because it is, I now have to really pay attention to that.
Yeah, it's no longer an abstract or an abstraction for you, That's
and
good.
And all these services that in the consultancy context aren't really that relevant, because they are directed against sort of product sort of people that make a product or something.
Services like what?
Yeah, I struggled to find an example. But in NotLab, we never really had that much use of stuff that makes it easy for you to handle all the social media accounts and statistics and...
Yeah, they're not oriented towards consultants. They're oriented towards people who have a product, who own a product or a service, right?
Yeah.
Who put that out there in the world. Yeah.
Or all sort of project management stuff.
Yay!
Yeah, because...
We do that.
We have that, but even what we have aren't really geared towards having hundreds and hundreds of projects and clients and so on.
Yeah. You've disintermediated very effectively.
So yeah.
Mm.
I will continue to work here for a couple of months.
Yeah. So you're basically sort of in three places, right? Because you're in the Bergen office, you're in the Oslo office, and then you're like, sort of, you have one toe at least in your new employer.
Yeah.
And you live in two places.
Yeah.
Yeah, and work in two offices, sort of.
At least.
At least, maybe three. Yeah. So, stretched a little thin, maybe.
Yeah, in a way, but not. It's not. In terms of, well, yeah, conceptually.
Yeah.
In a way, yeah. Or not conceptually, very concretely.
At the same time, like, I guess you still are you all day, every day, regardless of context, doing what you do.
I don't even know more anymore.
Okay, yeah, okay. Blank canvas waiting to be filled.
Yeah, but I guess. But, no, well, yeah, that's also a question, because when I left the academy, I didn't really have that many close colleagues and sort of this. It was a completely another thing, because, yeah, I wasn't involved in many projects and sort of had this, all this...
You didn't have a network? Well, it was very...
It's another sort of different way, right?
Okay.
And also...
I like to think of you as highly distributed, which I think you probably weren't in academia to the same extent.
No, I wasn't.
Yeah.
You can't be. Almost to the opposite, right? But also... It was more of a sort of a natural quitting, because my fellowship was sort of due, and
there was an end point.
Yeah.
Okay.
But now, when this is announced, everyone knows. I'm sort of, I think I have a different role now than compared to before.
I agree. You're highly visible.
That's okay, I guess, but it's sort of weird.
Why?
Because you can't both. I can't have the same stakes in what happens here now.
Yeah.
Both in that it's sort of irrelevant. In a way, but also it's not. Perhaps it's a bit far to call it. It's not within my rights. It's not in my place, perhaps, to have lots of opinions of how things should happen this fall or whatever in that life, right?
To some extent. Like, yeah, I get it. One can stop having opinions. I felt this a lot when I left academia. I could stop having opinions about things. At the same time, you never really stop wanting to help with course correction. Because if you can see a thing that like could be better,
yeah,
I defy you to just let it fly. Like, I'm not sure that you could.
But
is that the right word, defy? I feel myself very loosely anchored in like the ability to communicate. Anyway.
But yeah.
Your dude in flux kind of trajectory continues.
but also, it's not like, because I'm not moving that far.
No.
It's like 15 minutes from here or something.
If that, yeah.
And NatLife are still, hopefully, going to use Sanity.
I think it would be hard for us to drop it if we wanted to, which we don't.
This is my evil schema.
Yeah, you're just going to work for everyone until everyone is using it. It doesn't. That does not scale.
but yeah, and we still have a lot of projects and so on. So it's not like that. I'm disappearing,
blinking out of existence. If you do that, I'll be very cross, isn't it?
So yeah, huge week, I guess.
Yeah, huge week, huge year,
huge year. Yeah.
Ah, big.
And the weird thing is that, was it the week before Easter? I don't know, even time.
Yeah.
It's a flat circle.
It was like nearly 2 weeks ago or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But a week prior of the announcement, I didn't know that this was happening.
Yeah.
So I wasn't that surprised when I got the sort of the question or... offering, but it was kind of surprising.
Yeah.
Still.
I think a lot of us figured that was happening eventually, but I don't think any of us figured it was going to happen now. Like, that's been on the cards for a long time, but like, oh, okay, so that's happening now, like today. Like, oh, okay. Okay, quick pivot.
Yeah. Yeah, so when I started in NatLife, then called NatLife Research, we had this concept of that you got it, your sort of your own avatar thingy made by an artist in Brazil or something.
Don't, I'm still bitter. I came like 3 weeks after they decided to stop that.
And in my there is this inscription in Greek, Pantarei, everything flows.
Altflüter.
And I guess that was sort of true.
You can't stop it. Stuff just flows, man. Like, yeah. It's not like you're gonna just go, okay, everything just pause for a minute. Does not happen. Unrealistic expectation that anything else would happen. But I think sometimes it still comes as news.
Yeah.
Oh, it's good. Congratulations.
/
sobbing emoji, like disgust.
Yeah. What to say?
Don't have to say anything. It's cool. It's very exciting.
It is. It is very exciting. You can hear that in my voice now, right?
A little early for excitement.
Yeah, also it got late yesterday.
Because?
Partly because I spent the day with these guys. Hopefully not just guys.
Yeah, I hope so too, because that's going to be cumbersome to say repeatedly.
Yeah, but also because when I came back to the hotel, it wasn't that late, but past midnight, I decided to watch the congressional hearing of Mark Zuckerberg.
Why did you want to watch it? What?
It felt like an event.
Is it like the Watergate of our times, or? I feel bad that I didn't watch it, but I had to sleep.
I'll save the Watergate of our times to the Mueller.
Yes, fair.
Conclusion.
Fair comment.
But it was sort of foreplay, I guess.
Yeah, I guess an appetizer.
Yeah.
Not the tastiest, but...
No, I guess not. But, yeah. Zuckerberg is a...
Weird cookie?
Weird cookie.
Yeah. What do you take away from watching it?
It almost felt like a ritual, because at least in the start, they're reading up the statements aloud, and all these chairmen and so on, they are sort of reading the statements, and it is usually, it's pointed, but also it's much stating the obvious, and Facebook has become very important.
Why are they wasting time with obvious?
Yeah, but it is.
Or is it for the record? It's like, yeah, it has to be formal.
It is for the historical record, so I guess they have to sort of spell these things out and set the context right and so on. So you have that, and also Zuckerberg, he's starting by reading a statement and so on. But then it slowly evolves into more of a dialogue.
Okay.
Where sort of congressional officials also get a bit cross, perhaps, or pointed. So it feels like democracy in play. This is how it should be.
Right. But is there a danger that this is not really democracy? This is just like a show trial to pretend that we still have a democracy?
That's also an dimension, because you have, and that's why it's almost feel like theater or ritual. But there are hard questions. He is put on the spot, very literally, because he sits at this sort of table by himself, and we have sort of the audience behind him.
Is it like it looks in the movies, where there's just one guy sitting at this really long table across from like a million other people who all have questions and papers and
and they are of course elevated.
Oh really?
Yeah. so it's the setup is
It's very clear who is in charge of this thing.
And if you watch the sort of the television recording of this, it almost seems that Zuckerberg is clinging to his notebook during the sort of the introduction.
What, like something analog? What?
He has a notebook, right, and he's holding it sort of during the whole thing.
I kind of, in a notional attempt to try and remain the podcast that we possibly are, I kind of want to talk about like social media and stuff in Norway versus, say, other places. I'm singularly ill-qualified to talk about that, because I'm not a Facebook user and have not been a Facebook user.
Yeah.
So, but I observe that it is rife among people that I know, and has been for a while. And it's very interesting to be having these conversations about privacy and consent and the passing on of data and so on, for several reasons. One of them is that I'm surprised that it's taken everyone so long to cotton on to the kind of the way, the business model, if you like. And another is, I sort of wonder a bit like how Norway is different. I don't know if it's possible for you to even answer this, but is Norway different in its adoption of things like social media than, for example, the UK or the US? And how would we know? Facebook is huge here.
Yeah, everyone.
Yeah, everyone's on Facebook, right?
Yeah. So in that comparison, I would guess, and this is just a guess, that Norway's adoption of social media are, I suspect, higher than the UK and US.
Why do you say that?
Because I suspect that there's quite some people, quite a lot of people in the UK and US that aren't really on social media.
And you think everyone is here?
Pretty much. Because everyone is a quite small number of people.
Oh, okay, so yeah. It's like easier to get everyone on board because there's just fewer.
Yeah, at least on Facebook. So my grandmother is on Facebook, right?
My dad's on Facebook.
Yeah, so yeah. Perhaps in the younger generations, Facebook don't have that traction, but yes, they have an account, but they don't use it as much.
Yeah.
But they have other things, right?
They being young people, or like what?
Like what kind of social media things?
Insta?
I think Snapchat has been popular for a while. Yeah. Instagram, but also like Musical.ly and what have you. Here I'm beginning to feel my age. Hello, fellow kids.
Yep.
But yeah, and I think also there are stuff happening around gaming and so on.
That's been around forever, though. Maybe differently.
Yeah,
now,
but
I don't
know. Like the streaming thing, Twitch and watching people gaming on YouTube and so on.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I mean, yeah, that's fascinating to me, actually. The whole kind of YouTube.
Yeah.
The whole YouTube thing, which is many things.
It is.
Yeah. My little brother-in-law is a big kind of... like, that's his... The things that he is interested in and watches and stuff are, like, heavily YouTube-based. You know, he follows people on YouTube and into that stuff. It's really interesting because it's just so far away from where I live. The internet's become a very big place.
And a scary place.
Is it scary?
It's a bit scary.
Why?
Because the internet, there are actors that harvest all your data and sells it to creepy guys in the UK. In Cambridge, but not really.
Yeah. Also, like, the UK is the bad guy now?
Now?
Okay, in a different way than previously the UK was the bad guy. The UK spent a very interesting 10 years being, like, really the bad guy in US films. Like, if the bad guy in an American film for a while wasn't from Russia, they were British. They had this really crisp British accent. Have we come full circle again? Is it now Make Britain Evil Again or whatever?
But in all this, there's perhaps an opening.
For more bad guys? What?
No, because there are talks that the whole Brexit affair also are a part of the...
Yeah.
The thing.
Yeah. I'm sort of hesitant as to whether anyone is going to be able to prove... Like, in the US, the same story is unfolding about whether there was electoral fraud, or rather whether there was a measurable electoral effect of sort of manipulation on social media. And originally that was, nah, don't be silly, it's like 500,000 people, which in the US is nothing. And then it was like, well, okay, maybe there was a little bit. And it will be interesting to see if the same story unfolds about Brexit. How do you prove it?
Yeah, because as people that have some training in statistics and psychology and sociology and so on, I'm kind of not buying the whole Cambridge Analytica thing.
You don't think it's a big enough effect?
I'm not sure if it really works like that. And yeah, I'm suspicious to whether there's an effect, and if there are, whether it's sort of reaches into the rotational office or something. Because there are a lot of variables.
Yeah.
Going on.
Many, many variables, not all of which can be measured, and the interactions between which variables are very hard to chart.
Yeah, and I guess there are a lot of studies now on sort of the big five and personality traits and so on, but it's, yeah.
Sorry, that was me making a face.
Yeah, because it's also something with the, how does this work on the aggregated level and on the individual and so on. It's
complicated.
You do not simply just, right?
Yeah.
But you also kind of want it to work.
Well, this is the thing. It's like there are a lot of people who hope that it can be demonstrated that there was a sufficient effect that these electoral outcomes or referendum outcomes or whatever are null and void.
Yeah.
That they have been in some way tampered with and therefore are invalid. And I understand that wish. Like, I'm absolutely on that side of the fence. But you shouldn't look for the effect that, like, you know, it's bad science to look for the effect that you hope to find, right? Like, it's, that's not great. But I also, there's a thing, I'm very fond of the concept of path dependence, which I guess is also, in a way, the butterfly effect. Which is that if there's a little stone in the road and you drive over it, and the impact of you landing after going over the stone makes a little dent, then the next person will exacerbate that dent in the road by going over the stone and into the dent that you made.
Mm.
And the small thing quickly becomes a series of standing waves in the road. And it was not particularly predictable. It was started with a small thing, but suddenly you're on this path to, like, you know, that the road is kind of wavy. And I feel like something like that could have happened here, where you can't lay the blame at the door of, for example, Cambridge Analytica. But it is Analytica, right?
Mm.
But that small thing could have snowballed into big things.
And perhaps it was a small thing that came with other small things at the same time, like the whole Russian bot thing.
Right, infestation, example. Let's call it. Perfect storm or whatever, something. Mm. This is just a series of, like, shitty statistical buzzwords that I'm just throwing out now. Can we add any more to the pile?
Welcome to Society Now with Chris.
Yeah. Beanbag noise. Yes, we're live.
Beanbag noise. So that could be also a podcast.
That would be like one of my favorite things in the world is obscure tumblers. Things that are just like really kind of single note things, variations on the theme. It could just be a tumbler with like 5 seconds.
Obscure
second clips.
Tumblers should also be an obscure tumbler.
The meta possibilities are just endless. You just fucked up my weekend. Like, that's all it's going to be now, is just Tumblr rabbit hole after Tumblr rabbit hole. Oh, what a great way to spend time. But yeah, just like 5 second clips of beanbag noise from different beanbags, preferably also with their like manufacturer's brand, and you know.
Yes, and
hmm.
But yeah, social media in Norway.
How is it used here?
Well, in Norway, we use social media in the greatest way. I don't know, I got nothing. But I guess it's used as it's used elsewhere. How?
I don't know. I have a huge professional concern about Facebook Workplace.
Yeah, but a lot of these things, I don't know if they are particular to Norway. Well, it depends, because I think it's a more usual perhaps comparison to compare it to perhaps Germany, just because Germany has a history where people remember how it felt to be sort of being under surveillance.
Mm-hmm.
And I recognize that from my German acquaintances that it's certainly not a given that they are Facebook, and if they are, there's nothing there.
Yeah.
So they are more careful with where they put their information and so on.
Do they even have Google Street View? Because there was a thing in Germany where they rejected it as we don't want this because it's a bit too much surveillance-y.
And the whole GDPR thing, I suspect that Germany has played a big role in making that happen, right?
Yeah, and crafting that, you would think.
But,
like, Norway is one of a few countries which I think are piloting Facebook Workplace. I don't think it's been rolled out everywhere, and I think I heard from someone loosely in legal circles that Norway was perceived as a relatively soft touch and easy to put something like that out there.
I don't know if you knew this, but Norway was also a place where Coke would try out new soda brands.
I did not know this. Why? What is it about Norway?
Because we like soda, I guess.
That's true.
We was a good testing market.
Yeah. From when? When was this happening?
I guess this was in the 80s or 90s. I don't know. But,
okay.
But I also remember, and you were there as well, when Schleck was in the city.
Yeah.
They told us that the Nordic countries are... among the highest
uptake, right?
So I think we perhaps are a bit ahead in terms of tech adoption or something.
You know, cola is not a technology, right?
What? What do you mean?
Well, I mean, I think Norway is probably, and the Nordics actually generally, are like characterized right by highly educated populace, with respect to many other countries, highly educated, highly technologically literate, like all of those things that make it a good test market for things like Slack, maybe things like Facebook Workplace, because people are maybe on average more digitally savvy, maybe. Not super much, but like with the basics. And there's some kind of infrastructure to support that. But Slack is like, in my head, Slack is a thoroughly benign presence as far as I understand it. It's end-to-end encrypted. It's like...
Well, it has its problems as well.
Say more?
When you install a bot proper, you give it permissions to listen.
Mm.
To whatever happens in the channels it is invited to.
Mm.
And that, if you think about it, it's logical because it has to listen for triggers and so on. But it's not very apparent in the day-to-day life.
Yeah.
And so it's not much different from whatever you do on the web. If you send an email, you don't have guarantees unless you encrypt it that people are not looking into that email. So you have to trust the third party that they are.
I'm very interested to know what GDPR will have to say about bots and consent.
Yeah. Because I guess technically, if you were to install a bot that has permissions to listen to conversations, everyone in that channel or coming into that channel have to make sort of tick off a explicit consent that if they give personal information, this bot will have that.
Yeah.
And use it for X, Y, Z. Yeah. So, yeah.
But Facebook Workplace, right? Just to circle back, unless you were going to say something.
No, let's talk about Facebook Workplace.
Okay.
Yeah.
The thing that bothers me is, you know, like, private companies can use whatever. Like, that's between employees and the company and, like, whoever makes the software. The adoption by the state, and I use the state in the loosest sense, so the public sector, people who deal with citizens' data, the adoption by the public sector of things like Facebook Workplace troubles me deeply.
Yeah.
Because the second that usage starts being about private citizens, private cases, instances of things that relate to those particular people, now you have all of that data in the hands of a private actor, which was always true when people were using whatever off-the-shelf piece of software for caseworking or whatever. But it's a very, very different ballgame when Facebook owns that property. And Facebook is such a huge actor. And I do not in the slightest believe them when they say that they would not share data between Facebook Workplace and Facebook, even though they're nominally separate concerns. And the leeching of kind of private citizens' data into private companies via the state is like toxic and insidious and dreadful. And again, we're talking about consent.
Mm-hmm.
And I can see, like, 5 years from now, I can see the requirement for me to make a Facebook Workplace account in order to interact with the Norwegian state. And at that point, we're completely fucked because all of that data is in not just private hands, which I don't love, but in the hands of one of the world's most powerful actors currently. Let's see what happens in 5 years. That terrifies me. Yeah. Should terrify everybody.
I don't
everybody.
Know if that will happen, though.
I think maybe what's happening now might go some way towards forestalling that. But I'm very sceptical. Like, they've lied and, or at least evaded the truth about so many aspects of not sharing data or sharing data. Why would they, like, not also lie about
this? Yeah, I think you're completely right about, or I suspect you're completely right about Facebook at work using that data to whatever. But I don't think that it will be a requirement for a Norwegian citizen or to make such an account. Perhaps if you were to work in whatever sector that uses it, you have to, I guess, but not in terms of interacting with the state as a citizen, because we already have a pretty decent infrastructure for that. Just think about the tax thing, right?
Yeah, that's amazing.
And also there are state organizations that uses Facebook, but then again, we also have a pretty strong office for privacy and data protection and so on.
Data Tilsynet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm a bit surprised that the Facebook at work thing went through, because we have had a huge debate about Google to the same effect. Should official schools or public schools and the communes be allowed to use the Google platform?
Like Google Docs Suite, Drive and everything,
And I think they had to decide that yes, they have, because we want competition. It can't just be Microsoft.
Jesus. Right? So it's like Devil A or Devil B?
Yeah, pretty much. But I think, at least until recently, they had to run the software on a local server and so on.
And not put children's data in the cloud type
yeah,
of thing?
Exactly.
Or,
yeah, exactly. I don't know where that's the case anymore. Mm. I think there has been sort of some stuff with Facebook at work. It's weird because some of the... So I think the Norwegian bank was among the first that took use of it.
Oh, I know.
But it's interesting because a lot of these organizations, when they buy, for example, websites and stuff, it's often a requirement that the website's software has to be run from their servers.
Because they want to control it.
Yeah.
And because of data privacy, I assume.
Yeah, and so on.
But yeah, I've seen several large organizations really struggle with, okay, is it okay to use like Google Suite? Like, what does that mean for the data about people that we might be storing in there? Like, where is that stored? And now with GDPR coming in, like, which country is that stored in?
Yeah.
Is there some kind of data shield over this that is protecting it from incursions from outside the EU and so on? Norway's in a bit of a weird place because, of course, we're not an EU country, but we're still subject to many EU legislations.
Yeah.
And this is a very good one.
Yeah.
It remains to be seen what will happen post-Brexit, if Brexit happens, in the UK, because the current administration in the UK would love to get rid of many things to do with the EU, including the EU Convention on Human Rights. Because, you know, that seems like the kind of thing you'd just want to chuck out right as soon as you could.
Yeah. Ugh.
Yeah. Oh, it's nice to hear someone else make that noise about Brexit. And not just me.
But at least now, more than ever, there hopefully at least will be a conversation about data privacy and so on.
Yeah, I hope
and,
so.
And I suspect that there have already been columns written about the Facebook at work... at work thing, but
I have a half-assed blog post that I don't know will ever be usefully translated into something real, but yeah my problem, right, to go back to a thing I was going to pick up on, the problem with Facebook is that, like, the uploading of your contacts, for example, for quote-unquote convenience, here's other people's data that I'm uploading because I want my life to be convenient, and screw, like, their data privacy. But, like, the same thing can very easily happen with Facebook at work, right? Because if I use Facebook as an employee of the state, for example, then I am starting to give information potentially about my coworkers or... even maybe private citizens, without those private citizens necessarily having to be represented as individuals in that network.
Yeah.
Where's the line?
It seems hard to avoid
that. I'm troubled.
Yeah. That's your job.
To be troubled?
Yeah.
Shit.
Well,
is that all it is?
If somebody needs a easily flexible back end for structuring data, and it will be GDPR compliant,
good.
Well, people know how to reach me, I guess.
How do people reach you?
By sending me a postcard in the mail to...
You've gone full scale analog. Is this
well, what's my address now? I don't even.
Yeah.
Well, hit me up on Facebook, I guess. yeah.
You are so tired.
Yeah. Does this mean that we have to go through all the recordings we have done to see if there are any personal information?
And I think we've been pretty good. We've talked about listener so-and-so.
Yeah. You have mentioned names.
We have mentioned names, but first names only.
This was prior.
Yeah. It's not like... Is it backwards compatible? Do you have to, like, go back and...
I'm not sure.
Yeah, me neither.
I guess at some point we have to ask our listeners for some kind of consent.
To do what?
I don't know.
Well, by listening to this podcast, you are providing consent to have us in your ears.
Yeah.
I guess.
And we will use that fact in order to give you special offerings and tailor your personal... experience.
In what ways will we tailor their personal experience? We have to be explicit now.
Well, we will send them cookies, I guess.
Now everyone's going to write in and demand that we send cookies. Do you know how much postage from Norway costs? Jesus, don't do that.
Yeah.
It's really expensive to post things here. Like, if you want to send them to, like, abroad.
Compared to the UK?
Yeah, I don't know if that's an EU
thing.
That's
because we have the best postal service in the world.
Yeah,
and
it runs like at least twice a week, right?
Yeah.
There are postal strikes here recently.
Was there?
Apparently, yeah. Because I rang to complain about something that.
And this is why I'm not that concerned about getting mail less often.
Yeah. I don't really. But like when you've ordered a thing and then it doesn't come for a long time. It turns out there was a strike. But I assume that when people strike, like anywhere else, it's because they want both pay and conditions, and I think that's reasonable. I don't think... unions are strong here also, so I think, like, when... it's not France or anything, but...
It's not France or anything.
Well...
Yeah.
Yeah?
It's not.
Yeah. Do you have any cultural picks, or have you just been, like, awash in, like, personal and work life to such an extent that culture has passed you by?
I guess it had... well, there's a new season of Silicon Valley going on.
Yeah, I never got started on that.
So I guess that could be a... Because that's my world now. But...
How are you with Halt and Catch Fire? We finished it.
It halted.
You stopped, or...?
Something else... So in terms of TV, I guess... it hasn't been... We sold our TV, for example. And we haven't a couch or a sofa yet anymore.
Okay.
So the TV situation was a bit... But... so Halt and Catch Fire, that's a series that we watched together, but now traveling and all
yeah.
this. Yeah.
Okay.
So
pause.
I've been watching The Good Fight on HBO. So this is a spin-off series from The Good Wife.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Which I like.
Yeah, and The Good Fight is as good, if not a bit more.
It's a little soapy, maybe, The Good Wife, but I enjoy it anyway.
Yeah.
Maybe less so after a big spoiler.
So there's that, but also a new Norwegian TV series called Heimebane.
Yeah, which you mentioned before, which I haven't watched yet.
So that's been on my guess... computer screen in between things. But also perhaps a musical pick.
Yeah.
Moulin Hooch.
Yeah, I saw you put that in the music channel. What do you like about it? I gave it a whirl. I think I have to be in the mood for that.
So the setup is it's three guys, one on drums and two on, I guess, baritone saxophone and saxophone.
Are they Norwegian, or where are they from?
No, I think they're very much... They're probably from California or something.
I think you're missing the whole part where you're supposed to pick, like, a Norwegian cultural thing, but okay.
Well, this is culture in Norway.
Okay.
Happening in...
Is this hot in Norway right now?
I'm not sure, but they are playing a concert in Bergen coming late April or something. Mm. But
are you a concert goer?
No, not
too
anymore.
Many people.
Or too much standing.
How lazy are you?
Sure,
it's like 2 hours.
I've
seen you stand at a desk. I know it happens.
Yeah. I guess I do. Perhaps it's time to go to concerts again. But, well, there hasn't been much culture going on in Norway.
Yeah. Oh, well, okay, we'll get into this maybe next time. I want, like, first impressions of living on the East Coast, but maybe we'll take that next time, because that seems like it could be a gift that keeps on giving.
Hopefully. Do you have any...
Yeah, Klassekampen.
Like the newspaper.
Like the newspaper. Exactly the newspaper.
And if you were just translate that...
Class war, baby! Sounds way more threatening and radical in English.
Is it more like class struggle?
The class struggle, yeah, maybe. Which is the... Officially, unofficially, it's... They call themselves the, I guess, the newspaper of the left, the political left. But, like, maybe even kind of the Communist Party-ish, but, like...
They were, indeed, but...
Yeah. I think they've tried to, like, broaden their appeal.
Yeah.
It's very good. I took out a subscription, and it's a little bit too much he said, she said, from, like, what's happening in kind of nitty-gritty leftist politics, which I have limited tolerance for. And the way that you consume it online is infuriating. No, on a mobile. on desktop, it's beautiful. On mobile, it's a problem. And that's the only time. So I'm slightly frustrated by that.
Mm.
But that and Morgenblad are both really good Norwegian newspapers. Morgenblad's like a weekly, so they take the long view, and it's more kind of there's a lot of like nudge wink stuff again, stuff that you have to be a little bit in the know about, but then they do these awesome kind of proper journalistic pieces, which is really nice. I'm just learning so many new words from reading it. Good grief. Like Aftenposten just got really tiring because the reading age is like 9, and I was just like, I'm not being pushed by this. And, like, when I'm reading Morgenblad, I'm just, like, constantly having to look up words. Like, I know what this means, but let me write it down and make sure that I actually understand the dictionary definition from context. It's pretty much always obvious. But it's a challenging and really good read. And I don't have time in my day to read all these newspapers. This is growing stack of, like... Because I went for the physical one as well. I thought maybe I would try reading, like, a physical paper for yucks. And turns out that, like, it's really hard to find time to, like, pick up a piece of paper. For more than 5 minutes. Like, the phone is the newspaper that you always have with you, and I really get that now.
Can't you just bring the paper on the
tram while I'm standing and, like, elbowing people?
Yeah.
Oh, God. Like,
there's a technique.
The elbows
thing.
In. Kind yeah. Of, yeah, no,
people
I get it. But you also
this.
Have to hold on. It's hard, like, one hand with the paper, one hand holding on so you don't fall down. Because I'm standing
exercise.
A lot of the time.
It's a lost art of reading newspaper on public transport.
I think it's fine if you sit.
No, there are also techniques for standing when I'm doing this.
I also hit a milestone, which, ironically, it took me 3 years in London or 2.5 years in London to hit. And I've been here for a year and a half. And I hit that, which was... getting insanely, insanely annoyed with people on public transport. And it took less time in Oslo than it has in, that it did in London, which I find amusing. You're laughing at me.
Yeah.
Why?
Ha det bra, takk for turen. We can't go for another hour.